Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 13. Hebrews chapter 6. We'll read verses 13 through 18. We'll read this passage responsibly, so you join me as we come to verse 14, if you would. Hebrews 6, 13 through 18. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege we have to be here again this evening. Thank you that you've sustained us through the day. Thank you that you've watched over us and given safety. We pray now that as we come to the time of the preaching of your word, that our hearts, our minds, our attention might be focused upon that which you have for us. Help us to listen with our ears, but help us to listen with our hearts. Give our preacher your power that he might help us to be more like you. We love you, Lord. Amen. I know it is about 5 minutes till 8. I will not preach past 8:30. I think our service will be dismissed by 8:30, and I'll try to make sure that happens. The title of this evening's sermon is Honesty. I'm not about to preach something that is going to be spectacular. It's going to be quite simple, but it's something that we need. It's something that America needs. I think what would do the government of the United States of America some good, our politicians, is a thing called honesty. I think we need honesty. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:18 that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. You say, well, I thought God could do anything. Well, God is holy, and God has chosen to put restraints upon himself. And one of the things God said that I cannot nor will allow myself to do, and that is lie. Why? Because God is truth. And God said, I cannot lie. And I'm glad that my God cannot lie. That means everything that he wrote in his book is true. Oh, thank God. And let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about God being an Indian giver in regard to his promises. You don't have to worry about God not keeping his word. Some other verses I want you to listen to. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11, it says, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. God said, we are not to lie one to another. And you want to destroy trust between yourself and someone, just lie to them. Just lie to them. But the Bible says, neither lie one to another. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. The Bible's saying here, now that you're saved, you're supposed to tell the truth. So in essence, God is saying, if you're saved, and you're lying, you're acting like a lost man. Because a lost man does not appreciate truth. And truth is the opposite of lying. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. There again it reminds us, God cannot lie. So few restrictions that God chose to put on himself, but one of them was, I don't want to lie, I can't lie, I'm not going to lie. Psalm 63:11 says, but the king shall rejoice in God, everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. God wants your lies to stop. He said, I want that stopped. I don't want lies coming forth from your mouth. Why? Because the Bible teaches, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we're lying from our lips, there's something real bad going on down in our heart. We're deceptive in our heart. Let me read another verse to you. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says, But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, the word, what I'm concerned with here is the word beguiled. The Bible says that Satan beguiled Eve. What did he do? Satan lied to Eve. You say, well, what's a little old lie going to hurt? Here is one lie that produced chaos for the entire human race. What the devil lied to Eve, as a result of that lie, you and I suffer pain. As a result of that lie, there are people in hell. As a result of that lie, there is so much chaos because of the pain that sin brought. One lie changed the future of all mankind. Hey, your lie, maybe your lie, or my lie, could set off a chain reaction of pain, hurt, and misery. I know the lie of the devil did that with Eve and all of mankind. There are many different ways we could describe lies. Maybe we could say there are different kinds of lies, although they all fall in one category called sin. They're all wrong, but let me see if I can describe some of them to you. For instance, we might have what we call the black lie. You've heard people talk about the black lie. Acts chapter 5, verse number 3, the Bible says that Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Here's a married couple, Ananias and Sapphira, and they had a certain amount of money. They had promised God that they were going to give that money to God, and then when they faced Peter, they lied about what they were giving. I mean, you're talking about an out-and-out deception. Both the husband and the wife knew what they had promised. They decided that they would not keep the promise. They actually told the man of God that they were doing what they had promised they would do, and that's a black lie. What is that? That's where you know you're lying. You're sure you're lying. You're doing it on purpose. A black lie is called a black lie because it is obviously dirty. I mean, it's obvious to you. You know what you're doing. You have total intent not to tell the truth. So we could call that a black lie. Now, on the other side, there's what we call our white lies. Samson lies to Delilah, and it was over his strength. Judges 16, verse 10, it says, And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith mightest thou be bound? Now here's what had happened. Samson had a superpower. Delilah was trying to coax out of him what his power was. Samson was playing with her. He probably felt like it was best that she not know where his power was. Now, later on, Samson tells Delilah where his power is, so it didn't look like he was going to keep it from her forever, but he was playing around with her and lying to her. Maybe he felt like this was best for her, so he was lying to her because it was best for her. Sometimes we may lie to someone because we feel like that lie will help them. Well, did you know that it's still a lie? We call it a white lie because we consider it a clean lie. Well, there's no sin that's clean, folks. We think it's okay to do wrong if it produces some right, but it's never right to do wrong to do right. We're not to tell what we call black lies. Those are those blatant, we know we're wrong lies. And we're not supposed to be telling our little white lies. Those are the ones that we think are clean and decent lies. Then there's what we might call the half lie. Abraham lies to King Abimelech about his wife. What had happened is Abraham and Sarah had gone to the country or the area of Gerar, and while there, Abraham was afraid that they were going to kill him to get his wife because she was a beautiful woman. And so Abraham lies to the king and says, not my wife, that's my sister. Now, I don't know very many women that would enjoy that lie. This is my sister. The Bible says in Genesis 20, verse number 12, Abraham says, "And yet indeed she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife." So what he did is he kind of told a half-truth or a half-lie. You know, not telling the whole story. Half-truths. You only say part of what the story was. A strategic lie where you hold back just enough to accomplish your purpose. What is it? Maybe we call that a half lie. We've got the black lie. That's that blatant, knowledgeable deception. Then the white lie. That's where we justify it because we think some good will come because of it. Then the half lie where we hold back some of the truth. Then there's the silent lie. Joseph was sold into slavery. His oldest brother, Reuben, headed up this deception. But Joseph, you see, he has, well, with Reuben, there are 11 brothers that he has. Listen to this verse. Genesis 37, verse 28 and 29 says, "Then there passed by the Midianites, merchantsmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt, and Reuben returned into the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes." What had happened is they had put Joseph in a pit. His brothers were going to kill him. Reuben said, "Don't kill him." And the next thing you know, these brothers had taken Joseph and sold him into slavery. They had to go back to Dad. They took Joseph's coat. They wanted to cover up the fact that they just sold their brother. So they took Joseph's coat. They dipped it in some animal blood. They took it back to Dad. Said, "Dad, our brother got mauled by an animal. He's dead. Here's his coat." The only thing is, nobody spoke up. There was a spokesman in the group. Everybody else about this lie, where was Joseph? He'd been sold into slavery. It is obvious that if there are 11 brothers, one spoke and the other 10 just didn't say a thing. Was their silence honesty? No, their silence was a lie. Silence can speak. We say nothing. Our silence makes others believe we know nothing. Our silence yet was a lie. We didn't lie with our lips, but there was deception in our hearts. So, you have what you call the black lie. That is that blatant, rebellious, "I know I'm doing it, I'm covering up, I'm not telling the truth." Then we have what we call the white lie. That's one that we justify because we think some good can come from our telling or doing bad. Then there is that half-lie where we don't tell everything we know, but there's deception included. Then there's the silent lie where we don't say anything, and we think that our silence is honesty, but our silence is deception, and our lips did not speak, but it was in our heart and in our minds. And then there's, if you're not careful, lying will snowball on you. You lie to cover up a lie that you covered up another lie with. For instance, the Old Testament story of Jacob and Esau and their daddy Isaac. Isaac would he had begun to lose his eyesight. He was a very, very old man nearing death. He would give a certain blessing to his oldest son. The oldest son was Esau, but Jacob, the brother, wanted that blessing. And so Jacob, the brother, begins to scheme a way to get the blessing out of his dad Isaac. Let me show you what happens here. The Bible says in Genesis 27:19, and those of you that do not know the story well, what happens is now Jacob poses as if he is his older brother Esau so that he can steal from daddy a blessing. That's what's now taking place. Listen. It says in Genesis 27:19, "And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. You say, well, how would he know that? Well, Dad's hearing was going, Dad was blind, and Dad could not see. So, let me read it again. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou hast badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Now, there's his first lie. Dad had given him some instruction. He shows up. He said, Dad, I'm ready to receive the blessing. I've got the meat that you wanted here, Dad. I am Esau. There's the first lie. Now let me read to you a verse later. So lie number one, he says, I'm Esau. He was not. Lie number two, and Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. You see, the young man was a hunter, and his daddy was saying, I want you to go out, and I want you to kill me a deer, bring it in, let's eat it, and we'll share it as I bless you. Well, the only problem was, it was Esau that was the hunter, not Jacob. And what Jacob did is Jacob went out, and he killed a calf. Now he's bringing food back to Dad immediately. And Dad said, how in the world did you shoot that deer so fast? And he said, well, Dad, God provided. Lie number two. He's getting in deeper and deeper. So there's lie two. God provided that deer. It wasn't a deer. I am Esau. He wasn't Esau. He was Jacob. Now, listen, Genesis 27:23, a couple verses later, it says, and he discerned him not. In other words, Dad didn't figure it out because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Esau, the oldest brother, the one that deserved this blessing, he was hairy, had a lot of hair on his body. Jacob did not have a lot of hair. So Jacob had taken animal hair and glued it, stuck it on himself, if you will. So when Dad reached out to touch this boy, he said, there's hair. There's that hair. Oh, this is my son. So it says, and he discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. There's the third lie. Now he's deceived Dad a third time, lied to him, and convinced Dad of something that was not true. What happens? Folks, you need to be careful about lies. Because if you tell lie number one, so often it'll lead to lie number two. Why? I want to cover up lie number one. If you're not careful, you'll tell lie number three. Why? To cover up lie number two that was told to cover up lie number one. Can I tell you, the best thing to do is just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. We call them all sorts of things. We say, that's a black lie. We call it black because it's dirty, and it is a blatant deception. And we call it a white lie because we thought maybe some good would come from it. We call it the half lie, where we don't tell the whole story. We call it the silent lie, where we don't speak and we think that silence is truth, but silence can be a lie. Then these lies can begin to snowball on us. Now let me tell you a couple things about this, and I'll be done. Dishonest people, that's people that lie, they have a lot of fear in their life. See, Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of the Lord bringeth a snare. If you lie, you're going to find that you're going to have extra fear in your life. Why? Well, the fear of getting caught. The fear of being found out. The fear of the punishment that may come as a result of the lie. The fear of the loss that the lie is eventually going to cost you. The fear of knowing that someone knows the truth. And just so you all know, God knows the truth. God knows the truth. Dishonest people are always looking over their shoulder at who might be coming after them because of their lie. Dishonest people, they suffer from a thing called being paranoid. They know they've lied. They know that God knows they've lied. And they're always a little bit on edge, wondering, are they going to be found out? Are they going to be caught? That's a miserable way to live. It is a miserable way to live, always wondering, am I going to get caught? Always wondering, are they going to find out? Always wondering. Some of you young people, you're always living on edge because you've done some things and you've lied to your mom or you lied to your dad and you're wondering when they're going to find out. Now, just so you know, your Heavenly Father already knows. He already knows. Fear is the enemy of honesty. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Fear brings a snare. Fear traps you. We have a fear. Hey, don't fear your friends. Just be honest. Just be honest. Don't be trapped in your life. You see, there are different kinds of lies, if you will. The black lie, the white lie, the half lie, the silent lie, the snowballing lie. And dishonest people live in fear. There's fear in their life, the fear of being found out. Now, let me tell you this. Secondly, honesty, or telling the truth, will help you to become a mature, responsible person. Honest people are responsible people. Telling the truth, no matter what the outcome, will mature you. Telling the truth, no matter what the outcome, proves you are truly a mature, responsible Christian. Telling on yourself shows some maturity. It shows some self-control. Did you know something? Everybody does wrong. Some, though, then add a lie to their wrong, proving that their first wrong didn't really bother them much. Others show that their first wrong bothers them enough to tell the truth and fix it. Did you know that telling on yourself will help you to grow? Telling yourself will help you to grow up in the Lord. Telling on yourself is making yourself accountable to yourself. Telling someone if you're dishonest, it's a bit humiliating, but it'll keep you from doing wrong again. Did you know that if, young people, listen to me, if you lie to your mom, but then you come to your senses, and you're willing to go back to your mom and say, "Mom, I lied." That may keep you from lying again. You see, telling someone you lied is so distasteful. It is so humiliating. We don't really want to have to do it. So there's some who need to tell on themselves about their lie. Why? Because by so doing, you will so humble yourself that you'll say, "I don't want to go through this again. I don't want to have to admit to lying." And so, I've said this. There are different kinds of lies. We call them black lies, white lies, half lies, the silent lie, and they snowball and get worse and worse. People that lie, or dishonest people, are always living in fear. Fear that the wife will find out. Fear that the husband will find out. Fear that mom will find out. Fear that dad will find out. Fear that the Christian school will find out. You'll live in fear. You'll suffer from a thing called being paranoid, because you know somebody knows the truth and you lied. And that's no way for a Christian to live. We're not supposed to have the spirit of fear, but we're to have confidence. Now, you'll have confidence if you'll tell the truth. Honest people are responsible people. And if you want to be responsible, you've got to learn to tell the truth. And if you lie, you need to be willing to tell on yourself. Now, I'm going to skip something, take just a few more minutes, and we'll be done. So you say, "Brother Owens, how do I fix it?" I lie. I'm a liar. And so you know, you are supposed to tell the truth 100% of the time. But how do I fix it? I'm a liar. What do I do? Well, what's the miracle solution, Brother Owens? What do I do? You say, "How can I keep myself from lying?" Let's see how complicated this is. If you don't want to lie, tell the truth. Tell the truth. That's the other side of the coin. Tell the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So help you God. Just tell the truth. What do I do? Now, that's step number one. That's the key right there. Just tell the truth. Let's go on. What else could I do? Fall in love with Jesus. He said, "Well, Brother Owens, I'm not trying to fall in love with Jesus. I'm trying to stop my lying." But see, Jesus is the truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus is the truth. If you'd fall in love with Jesus, see, a lie is the opposite of Jesus. And you ought to fall in love with Jesus, and you ought to want to be like Jesus. And to do so, it'll help you with your lying. I think if we lie and we're liars, there's an absence of love for Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is the truth. If you love Jesus, then you're going to hate lying. Because Jesus is the truth. So how do I fix lying? I tell the truth. How do I fix lying? I fall in love with Jesus. How do I fix my lying, Brother Owens? I've got a problem. I lie. I deceive. I don't tell the truth. Fall in love with the Bible. Fall in love with the Bible. Why? God's word is truth. Truth is the opposite of a lie. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, you say, what am I going to do? I lie. Well, you decide, I will tell the truth. I will fall in love with Jesus, who is the truth. I will love the Bible, which is a book that is total truth. Now, we're fixing your lying. There's some of you, you lie because you don't spend enough time in your Bible. Number four, what do? I'm a liar. Well, you need to realize there's more benefit from telling the truth than there is benefit from lying. Did you know you get more out of the truth than you get out of a lie? Do you know why we lie? We think we're going to get something out of it. You lie because you think that lie is going to benefit you. Well, just so you know, you just cheated yourself. You always get more out of the truth than you get out of a lie. You say, well, how so? Jesus is the truth. He's the one that gives you every good thing. The devil is the father of all lies. He's the one that gave you every bad thing. And so, realize there's more benefit from telling the truth than from lying. You say, but Brother Owens, if I tell the truth, I'm going to get into some trouble. Did you know that even getting in trouble by telling the truth could prosper you far more than lying about it? So what am I going to do? I'm going to tell the truth. What am I going to do? I'm going to love Jesus. He is the truth. What am I going to do? I'm going to love my Bible and read it because it is the truth. What am I going to do? I'm going to realize there is more benefit from telling the truth than from lying. Number next, submit to the Holy Spirit. People that are filled with the Holy Spirit are going to have a real hard time lying. Listen to this verse, John 14:17. Even a spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. He is the Spirit of truth. It's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. If you were in perfect submission to the Holy Spirit of God, you would have never told a lie. Because to be in submission to the Holy Spirit would be to be in submission to truth. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three are truth. You have God the Father. That's our Heavenly Father. He said, I cannot lie. There is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. The Word of God is truth. His Spirit is truth. Hey, I'll tell you a sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's not speaking in some weird jibber-jabberish other tongue. It's telling the truth. The truth about the Word of God. The truth just in life. You tell the truth to your wife. The truth to your husband. Hey, when we get to lying, I promise you, you're quenching the spirit that is within you. You're not listening to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God always agrees with the Word of God. And the Bible says, speak not a lie one to another. What else can I do? I'm trying to fix this thing of lying. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus. I'm going to love the Bible. I'm going to realize there's more benefit from telling the truth than from lying. I'm going to submit to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd recommend that you separate from liars. Separate from liars. Now, I'm not telling some husband to divorce his wife tonight. But I wouldn't be hanging around the liars at work. I wouldn't be hanging around the liars at the Christian school. I wouldn't be hanging around the liars in whatever activities of life. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. What else can I do? Be reminded that you truly never get away with a lie. You truly never, never get away with a lie. You say, how so? God knows. God knows the truth. You didn't get away with it from the word get-go. You never get away with a lie. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I would say you ought to preach to yourself that lies hurt you and lies hurt others. And if you say, Brother Owens, I've just got to have help with this, let me give you four or five verses you ought to memorize. Proverbs 19:5 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Proverbs 19:9 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished. That's almost the identical verse. I'm sorry. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I would find verses in the Bible that will rebuke your lying, and I would memorize them. I'd memorize Proverbs 19:5 and Proverbs 8:7 and Psalm 19:14. So, here's what we do. Tell the truth, fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with the Bible, realize there's more benefit from telling the truth than from lying, submit to the Holy Spirit, separate from other liars, be reminded you never get away with a lie, preach to yourself how lying hurts you and others, memorize scripture about lying. Now, there are a lot of addictions in life. There are people that are addicted to alcohol, and there are people that are addicted to drugs, and there are people that are addicted to pornography, and there are people that are addicted to cigarettes. Let me tell you, there are people that get addicted to lying. They just lie and lie and lie. And God said, I'm not going to let myself be a liar. God said, I'm going to make it impossible for me to lie. And we need to work on it and make sure that we're honest. Christian people ought to be honest people. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.